All right. What I do, it's not a mess. This is not a preaching message. Usually, I'm out here because you're in a circle. So this is a little different. But we've got to keep you safe as we can. And we'll light the candles here in a moment. But we always, I just read the Christmas story. Don't try to preach it. And share just a couple of things. And I just kind of paraphrase my way through it so that this is the appropriate time in a candlelight service just to focus on the Lord and His Word. And we all know what happened, and how it came about. But the thing is, you can see I've used this a few times, and I was lectured on that a while ago. You need a new one. Instead of me having to look it all up in here, then I have it all written down. But anyway, we just read the story and let God work. I've shared this story with you, but the Lord put it in my heart, and some of you have heard it, others have not, but I wanted to share with you, and just as I look at this and this whole Christmas situation, and you give me gifts, and I'm so grateful, and I want all of you to know, and some of you haven't known me that long, you're newer here, but our growing up years, as you well know, were hard. And there were a lot of Christmases when, our trees were, you just went out and found the best looking little cedar tree you could find. You cut it and you put it in a bucket of water, or you crisscrossed a board, made an X out of them or whatever, and you nailed it through there, and that was your tree. And we made homemade decorations. You didn't buy stuff. The only thing I think that I remember ever buying was you could buy the little icicles for like 10 cents a pack. They were real cheap and you could throw those on there. And that's what we would have in our little house. And our house was when I first few years of my life, is two rooms. And we had a kitchen, and then we lived in our living room was the bedroom with fold up beds, and we had to fold them out. So the four of us slept in that little room. And that's the way it was. And you put the beds against the wall in the daytime. It was a real, real poor situation. And we didn't have windows. We had screens. And in the winter, we rolled these tarps down on the outside and tied them down and tried to stay warm in there with a butane heater. Remember those little heaters? You used to stand right. You had to stand right on top of them to get any heat. It went straight up. So that's what we had. And there was one particular Christmas when times had been really bad. And my mom had been in the hospital a lot and had to go to Wichita Falls, and that was a pretty good drive from where we lived. And it was snowing. It snowed a lot up there in those days. It snowed, not big drifts of snow, but it snowed often. And it was not uncommon to have snow in Thanksgiving and Christmas. It doesn't do that so much anymore, the global warming, And so, but at that time, we could always usually count on some snow, a couple of inches of snow, and sometimes more. Nonetheless, it was snowing, and we lived up there off the lake, and there just wasn't much. And my dad had told us, you kids are just, we just don't have it this year. And we already kind of knew that, but it was okay. Gifts weren't something that we just looked forward to anyway, because we knew there weren't going to be many things, and if any. But he said, let's walk down. Why don't we walk down to the lake and wash the snow? And it was dark. So we went down, and we did that often when it would snow. It was really pretty when the snow was coming down on the water, and little wisps of steam would come up around the edges of the lake, and it was really, really neat. And so we were just kind of doing our thing down there, and we stayed a while. And we came back to the house. And we came in the little door, little screen door, wooden door, and walked in. And right in the middle of the kitchen floor, right in the middle, was one boot track. Muddy, snowy boot track. One track. Right in the middle of the floor. And under and around that little cedar tree, it were stacks of gifts. Isn't that amazing? For all of us. And so that was the mystery of childhood. What in the world was that? But that was our miracle Christmas. And my sister and I got shoes. And we had warm clothes, and we had toys, and we were young, you know. And my dad got stuff, and that, what a beautiful thing, right? And a boot track in the middle of the kitchen floor. No other tracks. We couldn't find tracks outside. It was just one of those things. But we had gifts. That was the most beautiful Christmas in our lives. It sounds like one from the Waltons, doesn't it, on TV? But that really happened. And it's one of my most astounding stories. I'll always remember it. And I hope somewhere in life that God will give me the chance to ever do that for somebody. Whoever his servant ministers were, I guarantee you that was cool. And how they managed to not have any other tracks or wipe them up, whatever they did. We just had linoleum. Anybody ever have linoleum anytime in there? Okay. And little linoleum floors. There was that boot track. And it's still in my mind. And it's just the neatest thing. But we were the happiest kids in that whole area. We had never had gifts like that. Just stacks of boxes of stuff. And it was like, wow. And so anyway, that's my memorable Christmas with the snow just drifting down and the boot track and the presents. And we got warm shoes. And I used to have to wear shoes to school. And we taped them. And you had to put tape around your shoes to keep the soles from flopping. And that sounds like, not really, seriously? Yeah, really seriously. And that's the way it was. And then we had new shoes. And I got a little pair of black cowboy boots. Yes, I didn't wear boots as a little kid. We couldn't afford them, so we ended up with those little tennis shoes, all the time. And tennis shoes are rough in the winter, but I got my little pair of black cowboy boots, and I thought that I was something else. I did. You know how you just want everybody to see your little boots, you know? So anyway, enough of that. But I wanted to share that. Because, you see, those are the miracles that God works, that He keeps in your mind. And we want to pass that forward and do those things. So when you do things like you did here this morning, you see, that I don't take that for granted, because I've had so many times in my life where there was nothing. And so you're doing this kind of thing. It means more than you imagine. And I laugh and I play and do all that. But deep down, it's a heart-touching thing, because so many years of my life were without anything. And so a gift from you is more precious than you can possibly imagine. It's a gift of love, and it's like the boot track in the floor and the boxes around the tree. So that's why it is very touching to me, and I thank you. And when I say I thank you, I really thank you. It means a lot. So let's read the Christmas story. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. And he'll be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." And she was just a peasant girl. That's all. She's just a common girl. No big name, no inheritance, no heritage, nothing to present to God except a heart of faith. And friends, that covers it for all of us here. Do you realize that? There's not much preaching in this, just comments. But we need to grasp this Christmas story, because God chose a girl that had nothing to offer but a heart of faith. Why? Because he wanted his people to know from now on, it's not your standing in a community. It's not your family name. It's not what race, color, creed you are, how much money you have or don't have. God loves people with faithful hearts. And look what He can do with one. And that means you. And everybody here is a walking miracle. If you haven't experienced it yet, then you need to, and you will. Just open your heart to God. That's why she asked, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I can't have a baby. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. There's much more to this. Read this whole story. I can't up here for sake of time. And then you know the next step. Poor old Joseph, right? Blessed Mary, and there's so much more to her blessing, but this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. After he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to her son. And he gave her the name Jesus. You say, what comments can you have there? Not only do we have a very unusual woman with a heart of faith, but so little is said about an unusual man. He was born in the line of David, yes, and Joseph had that going for him. But he didn't have anything else but faith. And if you ask yourself, would I have reacted this well? Would I have believed this? Even if I had a dream and I believe God was speaking to me in a dream, would I take it this well? Would I be willing to face public disgrace to honor God? Because that's what he was choosing, and that's what God was asking him to choose. What God was saying to Joseph is, are you willing to take this woman and you stay with her? And are you willing to have all those rumors and all that gossip and all those little pointy fingers going at your back saying, you are a dishonorable man? In the communities back then, it's so accepted anything today goes, which it shouldn't be. But back then, this was a terrible thing. Well, they're going to look at her as, you little harlot. But they're going to look at him and say, you have no honor. You have no godliness, righteousness in you at all, Joseph. Because look what you've done to her. That's what God was asking him to do. You say, the words aren't there. No, they don't have to be. We know human beings, don't we? And we know what community life is about. These people took a beating. And this man was going to catch it. And yet, he did what God told him to do. And he let God worry about the outcome. You hear the message in all this Christmas story? It's there for us. The story's beautiful. But the messages, oh my. You know, they're incredible. They're incredible. Because you look at this and say, wow, here's two people that are going to really get it from people. But they're going to experience a miracle from God. And they had to choose. People or God? And I believe for this Christmas season, with all my heart, that's where we all are. Right now, in this country, in every church, are we going to choose people? Are we going to choose God? And like the man said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what they did. And they received the blessing, the miracle. Well, I'm going to skip around a little bit, and we'll go to the shepherds. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken, and we'll skip some of the stuff, you know, the first census since Quirinius. We don't care about, you know, who cares about Quirinius, right? But we care about the Christmas story. So Joseph had to go up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. So he had to go where your lineage was. By the way, this wasn't incidental. This is where it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would be born. And see, in this Christmas story, there's these continuing messages for us all. When things happen that we don't understand and we get upset and we gripe and complain and we're crying out to God, why am I being treated so unfairly? Why is all this happening to me? What we don't know is that God is working the circumstances to be in line with His will so we can receive the full blessing from God. Did they want to go with her pregnant up here and have to, you know, be accounted and register and do all that? Of course not. And when they got there, what happened? They couldn't find a place to stay. So they went to the stable, as you know, and he was born in the manger, which is a trough. There was no room in the inn. But you see, God had to use some hard circumstances to get them to go where he wanted them to be to fulfill his word. And when you look back in your own life and say, look at, you know, this happened to me, and this happened to me, and this and that. You can look and say, but God did exactly what He says over in Romans. He causes all things to work to the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And He put them where He wanted them so they could experience and be a part of this great miracle He was performing. And so she gave birth, and she wrapped Him in the swaddling clothes, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And if you don't think that any of us would be, it scares to death. And as UFO-oriented as we are today, I don't know what, people would be freaking out. They'd be shooting at these angels. I mean, really, seriously, I mean, just think about it. This stuff up here in the sky. And you'd be calling every news agency, you know, you come out here quick, there's a UFO. There's, you know, but really, seriously. So, yeah, they're terrified, and who wouldn't be? I mean, these are shepherds. And by the way, do you know another reason they were terrified? We depict the shepherds as these wonderful, gracious people out tending the clean white little sheep. Shepherds had a reputation in that day for being dirty and rather shiftless, and they couldn't do anything else, so they had to hire out to take care of dirty sheep. And they were the least, probably in the community, they were the least respected workers around. We've glorified them, but if you look back and study the history, the shepherds didn't have a good reputation. So if you have angels appearing and they finally realize this is a very supernatural God thing happening up here, do you think these guys are a little bit shiftless and maybe, you know, pilfered a thing or two in town and, you know, stole this or picked that up, or, you know, not totally honest? That's what they were known to be, is not real honest, dependable people. You think maybe they thought judgment day was upon them? You ever looked at this side of it? So there was another reason to be afraid besides just this thing appearing in the sky. It's like everybody with a guilty conscience goes through this. They've come to get me. This is it. And they knew they weren't ready. So there's all kinds of things coming into play here with this. And an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around, and they were terrified. But the angel said, don't be afraid, to bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel of God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said, well, let's go. I'm going to paraphrase here. Let's go to Bethlehem and see what's happened. And when they had sent him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. There's such a beautiful message, but for the sake of time, I won't build on it. I will one day in another message when it's not the Christmas story. But just think about this. Do you see God's wonderful plan of salvation? He picks a woman that has no reputation, nothing going for her but a heart of faith. Picks a man the same way, he just happened to be born in the line of David. And he goes to people who are the least respected in a community and appears to them and uses them as his messengers. Because once these guys out there realized judgment day had not come, but instead a day of salvation, a day of freedom, that God is announcing to people who are destined for bad things that good things have come upon them. You see, Jesus never came to the wealthy and the ones that have it all. Not that there's anything wrong with wealth. Simply saying, God came, Jesus Christ was born and lived his life ministering to people who didn't have a chance. And he took these shepherds who nobody liked. They smelled like sheep. Nobody wanted them around. And God chose them to be his first messengers of the birth of Christ. How about that? And so some of you sitting here this morning may think, my sins really smell. They're stinky. My life's stinky. There's not much God can do with me. And God's saying, you want to bet? I took these guys who were outcast of society. That's why they're not living in town. They're out there with sheep. They have nowhere else to go. I took them. I chose them to be my messengers. And what does it say to us all with this Christmas story? It's the birth of Christ. But it also says everybody here is worthy to the Lord, and God loves us all. There are no outcasts in this room today. So they took off, and everybody was amazed. Now you know why they were amazed at what the shepherd said. They were amazed at the story they heard, but they were amazed at who was delivering the story. And then the last thing of all, in this message, and you know about the wise men, and they followed the star, and they went and they were misled by Pilate. He wanted to kill Jesus, all that stuff. But they went on their way, and the star stopped over a place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they opened their presents, their treasures, and they bowed before Jesus and worshiped him. And they opened up their treasures, and they presented Jesus with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Gold for a king, and incense and myrrh for his burial. All offered at his birth. Because they had already, whether they understood fully or not, they had that message put in their hearts that true life is not in this birth. True life is going to be in the death that follows and the resurrection. And that's the true birth of Christ, is being born again from the grave. And when we receive him into our hearts, that's what happens to us. We confess our sins and we ask Jesus in our heart. And we're born again. We come out of the tomb of sin and darkness. And we're brought into his glorious light. And we're saved. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the story doesn't stop with all this. Because from here, what happened? Our commission from all of this, our commission is to take this light that came into the world and pass it on to someone else and say, guess what we've seen? The Christ who will save us from our sins is born this day. And we're just going to go from table to table and light these candles. And you just hold them there, and we'll be as quick as we can. And you can pass and help us out and pass the light to the people, because that's what the message is. We're going to give you a start, and then you pass your light to someone else. That's what Christianity is about. God brings the light of salvation into your life, and then you share that with others. You look so anxious to have your little candle lighted. There you go. There you go. Ed, there you are. There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There you go. And just pass your light around your table. You got them? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody have their candle? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Terry. And all right. Now, if you'll stand with me. And just hold it up. And everyone look around. And from one little candle went another little candle. This is a reminder of what this whole thing is about. It's not trees and gifts and all this stuff. They're nice. What it's about is that the light of God, Jesus, has come into the world. And all he asked us to do was share that light with another. The blessings of the Lord be upon you. God bless you and keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his entire countenance upon you, and God give you peace. Blessings this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.